Okay, today's daf is Brachas daf Mem Aleph. As we continue in Ketz Mevarchin, and we continue today with the issues of Chaviv and the order of Brachos and what you pick to make a Bracha on, and B'ez Hashem we'll get to Namen Beis as well in terms of desserts and appetizers and related issues. Okay, but first we have Mem Amen Beis. We're up to the two dots, about 10 lines up on the bottom. Va'al Hanovlos. Vala Novlos, the Mishnah had just been talking about different items that you make a shahakol on, which, by the way, we had a daf be'in shir last night about shahakol. Hopefully it's up on OU.org. On the daf be'iyun about the brach of shahakol, v'yal ha-novlos, my novlos. So what are novlos? The Mishnah said the three items that you make a shahakol on, and Rabbi Yehuda argues on. So vinegar, novlos, and govai, which is a type of kosher grasshopper. All of those you say shahakol, and Rabbi Yehuda argues on something in that group. We'll have to see which he argues on, because he says any min klala you don't make a bracha on. So v'al ha-novlos, my novlos. Well, what are novlos? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yizei, Rabbi Law, Chad Amar Bushle Kamra. One says it's Bushle. Bushle from the word Mivushal, very ripened. Bushle, Rashi says, they are burned by the sun. Srufe Chama. They are sun-dried or sunburned. That's Bushle Kamra. Or Chad Amar Tamar Dezika. Or others say it's dates that were blown off the tree by the wind. So the two days, whether they are wind-blown dates or whether they are sun-dried dates. Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so one second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer calls Shumin Klala Mevarchan Alav. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda argues on this and says, if it's a min klala, you don't make any bracha at all. So Bishlam Alamandara Bushle Kamra, so I understand if they are the sun-dried, so then that's a klala, because they didn't develop properly. Haina Dukari Le Min Klala. That's what Rabbi Yehuda would argue and call that a min klala. El Alamanda Omer, Tamri Dezika. But if you say it's the dates that were ripe, that were just blown off by the wind, so my min klala, what's the problem? Why would Rabbi Yehuda call that a min klala? And just the Gemara Ashara, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing only on the other two of three. He's arguing on the govai and the vinegar. The vinegar, which is a min klala because it's spoiled, it used to be wine, let's say, and the govai, the grasshoppers, which destroy crops. That's why both of those are min klala, but you're right, the other one is not. He does not argue on novlos. Ika da amri, or a similar discussion. Bishlam alamad da amar bushle kamar fire. I understand the one that holds that novlos is the sun-dried grapes, hainu de mavarchin and alayo shahakol. That's why you say a shahakol on them, because they are different than they were, or they're supposed to be. El Alamand Amr, Tamri Dezika, Shahakol, Borei Priya Ezbi Boi Leilavruche. But if you say they're just dates that the wind blew off after they were ripened, why would that change the bracha? You should say Borei Priya Ezbi on them. So why that the wind blew it off and you didn't harvest them? But it's still fruit, and therefore why would the bracha switch? So again, a second question on that opinion. So El of the Gemara says, you're right. Binovlos stama kuleyama lo pligi de bushle kamrininhu. When it says the word novlos in a Mishnah, that always means the sun-dried, the sun-burned dates. And that's what's going on in our Mishnah. This is for sure talking about the bushle kamra, the sun-dried ones. Ki pligi, the machlokes, between Rav Zeira and Rabbi Law, is elsewhere. Binovlos timra, where that phrase is used. Novlos timra, ditznan, as the Mishnah says in Meseches Demai, Hakalon Shevet Demai. Remember, we haven't spoken about Demai in a while. Demai, if you remember, is produce that I receive somehow that I am not sure if Maestros were taking off of it. Truma Gedola for sure was taken off, because all Amei Haaretz are very scared about Truma Gedola. It's Misa B'dei Shemayim, so that I don't have to worry about. But Maestro Rishon I have to worry about. And within Maestro Rishon is Trumas Maestro, which has the same din as Truma Gedola. But not everybody realizes that. So I'm not sure if Maestros were taken off. Rov Amei Haaretz do take off Maestros. So that's the Rov. But Chazal enacted that even though Rov do that, but I still have to be worried. And they gave the status of Demai to I'm waiting for the sneeze to come out. They gave the status of Demai to that type of produce. But, and therefore they assered it midrabanan. We spoke in the past, the Achronim discuss, in Lumdis, does Demai now have the status drabanan of ma'achalos asuros? Even if I eat Demai and it comes out that in reality the Amah Aretz did take off Maestros, do I say that I didn't violate anything? Or do I say that no, Lamaisa, it didn't It didn't have Meisters in it, therefore what did I do wrong? So that's a discussion of the Achronim. But anyway, the Mishnah says in Demai, Hakal and Shebet Demai, the following items Chazal allowed you to be makel on by Demai. There are certain situations where the Mishnah is described you can be makel. For example, a guest or an ani. Because Rov or Maaser, so you can be Mekel, the third parak in Demai says. But here's another type. There are certain types of produce that you can be Mekel on. This is the first Mishnah. Hakal and Shebet Demai. Hashisin, Vaharimin, Vahauzridin. All of these you can be Mekel on for various reasons. Whether they mostly, they do take off, they're Chashuv, the Mishnah is described there. Anyway, what are these? Broshik, Broshuach, Ubroshikma, Vigufnin, Vinitzpa, Vinovlos Timra. The last one is the one that's important for us. But first, the Gemara goes through what each of these are, each of these types of fruit. Shisin, Amar Abba Barbachana, Amar Biochanan, Min Te'enim. It is a type of fig. Rimin Kandi. Rimin Kandi. Ha'uzridin are Tulshi. Benoshuach are Amar Abba Barbachana, Amar Biochanan, Teni Chivarta, white figs. Benoshikma, Amar Abba Barbachana, Amar Biochanan, Duvle. The other type of fig. Gufnin, shilhi gufni. Gufnin means the vines, from the word gefen, that bloom late. Shilhe always means late. Shilhe gufne. Nitzpa means parcha. That's like the tzlaf berries that we had earlier in the perek. Novlos timra. What are novlos timra? So there's the Mar Machlokes, or Belover, Bzeira, Chadamar Bushle Kamra, the Chadamar Timri Dezika. So that's where the Machlokes appears, not in on our Mishnah. So the Gemara, though, has another question now. Bishle Malamadamar Bushle Kamra, according to the opinion that says that that they are sun dried, Hainu Diktania Kalo Shebet Demai, that's why Chazal or Mekel by these items, Sveikan hu depatur, because you're not sure if Maestris was taken off, that's why you can be Mekel if you're not sure. Havada an chayiv. But if you knew for sure that Maestris were not taken off of them, then you have to take off. That's the Bushle Kamra ones, the ones that were sun dry, because those are chayiv. Elamad amar timrei dezika, but according to the opinion that says, Nivlos, according to what it says that Novos Timra are the fruit that got blown off by the wind. So what, only by Demai you could be Mako? But if you knew for sure that it's Chayiv and Maestros, you'd have to take off? But the wind blew these off. Vadon Chayiv Hefkerin Inhu. They're Hefker. The wind blew them off. So who's? What do you mean they're going to be Chayiv? They're Hefker. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Really, if you just picked them up when they were Hefker, you would not be Chayiv. Hacham Mayaskinan Sha'asan Goren. So I'm at a cave where after you gather them all up, you made a big pile. You brought them into a Goren, and if you make them into a Goren, into a pile, that's called Gemar Malacha, and therefore your Chayiv and Maestros, even they originally were Hefker. Dom Reb Yitzchak, Dom Reb Yochanan, Mishum, Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, Haleket Vashicha Vapeya, all of these three items that are Matnis Aniyim, that are usually Peturos from Maestros. Right? If an Ani takes Leket, or Shechacha, he doesn't have to get Maestros from that. He could just eat it, it's Hefker. But what happens if he took it and he made it, he processed it, he made it into a big, large pile in his field? Sha'asan goren. So then, hukful amaiser. Then it's hukful amaiser. That's what we're talking about in this case, that by kalushib demai, yes, only by a suffix. If you're not sure if the maisers were taken off, you'd be putter, but otherwise you'd be chayiv.
Is this special halacha by goren, or is any gemar
malacha? Any, well, what other gemar malacha would you think? Meiruach?
Say you cook it.
If you could, with those other chivim, I don't think that's after review, those six Durabanan situations, cooking and chatzer, what an ani is not allowed to, but the whole din of an ani being putt from all these, what if it brings it to his chatzer, chatzer is like, just like cooking, he'd be chayv and maestros, lachar or not. Chatzer, Shabbos, maybe it'd be mechalik between the two, the various ones, but I have to check. Okay, Ika da Amre, Bishlam Alaman da Amre, Tami da Zika. Other way, according to the one who says it's the wind blown ones, Hainu da Hacha Kari Le Novo Stama, Hasam Kari Le Tamara. I understand why the Mishnah calls it different names. Our Mishnah calls it Novlos, so that's one definition, and the other Mishnah called it Tamra Dezika. I'm at Novlos Timra. So that's why, you know, they're referred to two different types of dates. Ella. But according to the opinion that says that in both cases it means the sun burned dates, so why is there a different word? If it means the same thing, kasha. Okay, no answer given. Okay, we continue now. So that finishes up yesterday in terms of the items that fell off, the dates, and now we get back to the last machlokas in the Mishnah. Remember the last line of the Mishnah had a machlokas about order or which brachas you say. You have many things in front of you. Minim harbe. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shivas Aminim wins. The Chachamim say, no, whatever you want. So what exactly is the case under discussion? The Gemara is not sure, just to foreshadow for a minute. Are we talking about cases where you have fruit of the same bracha? And the question is, which one do you use in order to be motzi the other one? Is that what's under discussion? Or are we talking about, no, different food items with different brachas? And you're talking about the order of what bracha you're going to make. So is it an issue of which one's going to be motzi the other one? Or is it which one is going to go first? That's going to be the two deus in the Gemara coming up. So ha'ilofanaminim harbe v'chulu. Amar Ula. So Ula says, first opinion, machlokes b'shabir chosei and shavos. The machlokes is where you have equal brachas, and the question is, what's going to be motzi what? Which food item is more chashuv for Hilchas brachas, and you should make the bracha on that food item, and be motzi the other ones with the same bracha. The Rebbe Yehuda savar min shiva adif. Rebbe Yehuda says, shivas aminim. Meaning if in front of me I have pomegranates and oranges and apples, they're all ha'eitz, I have to make the bracha on the pomegranate, says Rabbi Yehuda. V'rabbanan, even if I like oranges better. V'rabbanan savri, min chaviv adif, and the Rabbanan say, no, chaviv beats shivas aminim, according to the Rabbanan, according to this daya. And therefore you do chaviv first. Aval b'she'ein b'rchosei and shavos, but Ula says, if their brachas are not equal, the brachas are not equal, then you have to make a bracha on each one. The machlokas is about choosing which item to make a bracha on to be motzi the other. That's what's on the machlokas. But in a case where brachas are different, that's not the issue in the Mishnah. Then of course you'd make a separate bracha on each of the foods. Rashi notes, why don't you just make the more inclusive bracha? Let's say you have fruits and vegetables in front of you. So why do you make the more inclusive bracha? After all, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? You can make a ha'adama on a bari pura eitz fruit. You can make a shahako. Why do you just make the more inclusive? So Rashi says, no, that's only bidi'eved. If I made a ha'adama on a fruit by mistake, that works. But lachatchila, I'm supposed to make every bracha that's matim for the food. Right, if I have fruits and vegetables in front of me, I'm not supposed to lachatchila make a bracha on the vegetables, so I don't have to make a bracha on the fruit. Just the opposite. I'm supposed to make the less inclusive bracha first so that I can make all the brachas. That's what Rashi says on the first couple of skinny lines. Right, if I have kavana for one thing, that does not mean that the other one is something that I don't make a bracha on. Good. We spoke a couple of days ago already about what is called chaviv. In the Achronim, we spoke about Rav Zorberstein spoke about what if my daughter made a challah, even though it's less it's an inferior type of challah than the other challah. This is a sweet one. This is not. But the Rishonim discussed this. How do you define chaviv? The Shulchan Aruch has 2 days. It's machlokas right here between the Rashi and the Rambam. Does chaviv mean what's more chaviv to me right now, or what's more chaviv to me in general? What if I usually like something, you know, better, but, you know, right now I'm in the mood for this. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions in Reish Yud Aleph. V'nikra chaviv, hamin sheragil lios chaviv alav. Afilum ata chafetz b'min hasheni. Shulchan Aruch first quotes the first daya, that chaviv means generally, whatever you usually like, even if right now you're not interested in that. That is first day of Chaviv. That's the rush. Ula HaRambam is the Shulchan Aruch talking. Im haya min echad Chaviv lo yoser. Right? If the Chaviv is here right now, maknam haChaviv lo az ba'osa shah. Then you go by osa shah. You go by that moment. That's the one that you make a bracha on. Bein shebir chosei and shavos. Bein she'enam shavos. Bein sheish bahem mimin shiva. Bein she'en bahem mimin shiva. That's the Rambam Shita is the only, that's the quoting, finished according to the Rambam. The Rambam says, chaviv beats shiva saminim. That's the Rambam Shita. That, the first day does not go on. The first day holds like, if it's shiva saminim, that wins. If it's not shiva saminim, then you go by chaviv. The Rambam, and the both days according to Shulchan Aruch. That's why Hilchos Brachos is not always clear what you make a bracha on. The Minhag Olam is always to go by Shivas Aminim like the first day in Shulchan Aruch. That beats Chaviv. But if they're equal, but if they are not equal, so then, if there are no Sheva Saminim, then you go by Chaviv. And again, this is a big discussion. Besides the Rambam and the Rush, what else is Chaviv? There's an interesting Shaila in the Chashuke Chemet here. Again, another Chaviv issue. There was a case, Rachman al-Islan, there was a Sheila B'machnot Hamavis B'Germania. During the Shoah, there was someone who was able to find a little piece of carpet, and he fashioned it into a pair of tzitzis. And he found some wool, and was able to make tzitzis. It's this tiny little, whatever, enough of a shear, but tell the story is that they made fashioned it into a pair of tzitzis. 1,000 men, the whole camp lined up every morning at 4 in the morning, whatever, right after Alos HaShachar, to put on the tzitzis for a second, to make a bracha, unbelievable inspiration. But the Shiloh is, Baruch Hashem, one of the men was able to survive, and after the war, is it better for him to use these pair of tzitzis? Or to get a nice, big, beautiful mechuter pair of tzitzis. But this is chaviv to him. So this is outside of Hilchos Brachos. You know, I want to wear this. This is my Mesiras Nefesh. So what is chaviv? Is chaviv objectively what's more mehudar? Or is chaviv, you know, the symbol of Mesiras Nefesh? So he, the Rav Zilberstein thinks, I think chaviv. The wood would go first. He quotes an amazing raya. The Gemara we all know. The Gemara in Yuma, where the Gemara says that we know from the Nicanor brought the doors to Mitzrayim, and one of them he had to throw off, and the nace was done, and the door was saved, even though it was thrown overboard. And the Gemara says there, and the Mishnah says, that all the doors, when the Bnei Yisrael became richer, all the doors in the Mikdash were changed into gold, except for Nicanor's doors. They left Nicanor's doors because of the nace that occurred. Right, because of the with the Yuma Lamed Ches, where the door went with the boat all the way to Eretz Yisrael. So you see, from there, even though it was less mehudar, it wasn't gold, they kept it because of the nace that was done. So that shows Mesiras Nefesh and a nace that was done. You know, keep it. So he said that's what he said, and then he said, I asked my brother-in-law, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he said he's not so sure because Nicanor's doors were also gorgeous. Right, it wasn't gold, but it was still, I'm sure, mehudar. He spent all this, all these craftsmen in Egypt that he had make these doors. So he says, I'm not so sure that if you would go by a non-mehudar, there might be different levels within mehudar. That's the discussion, a little bit of chavivus. What bracha would you make? Okay. We continue now. So we just had a first day of Ula. Ula says the machlokas in the Mishnah is not about the order of brachos, but about which food do you make a bracha on. The order of brachos, though, is not under discussion. Says the Gemara Meisvei, Hayu lefanav tznon v'zayis. If I have a radish and an olive in front of me, mevarech al tznon upoter es zayis. You make a bracha on the radish if it's chaviv. Ay, zayis is shivas aminim. Right? Is it an akasha on Rebbe Yehuda? Or you could say even upoter as azayis. You could see that you just make one bracha and you pata the other one. Sachamayaskina kshat snon ikar. No. That case, that brisa is a case where the radish is the ikar. So it's an ikar v'tafel. So you're not going to make a bracha on the zayis. That's why there everybody agrees on the snon. So the Gemara says yahachi emasefa. No, look at the next line of the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda omer mevarech al azayis. Rabbi Yehuda argues shazayis bimin shiva. Rabbi Yehuda says, you make the bracha on the zayis because it is Shiva Saminim. But less lately, Rabbi Yehuda, hadetzan. But does Rabbi Yehuda hold the Mishnah that we're going to have in 3 days? Kol shu ikar v'imo tfeila, mevarech al ikar podes tfeila. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold of ikar and tafel? So if the case is known as the ikar, how can he say you make a bracha on the zayis? The chitei machanami, if you want to say yes, he rejects that principle. To Leslie, that's not true. Vatanya, we looked at another brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imachmas tznon bahazayis, mevarech al tznon upoderes hazayis. So you see clearly, if the tznon is ikar, then you make a bracha on the tznon. So what's the first brisa's case? Where there's a machlokas about it. So la'olam bitzon ikar askinan. Really, in both brises, even in the first brise, the tzon is the ikar. So how does Rabbi Yehuda say you make a bracha on the zayis? V'chi pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'rabbanan b'milsach risi pligi. The brise is missing a couple of lines. V'chi suri mechzra v'akintani. This is what it means. Ha yu l'fanav tznon v'zayis. If you have to in front of you, mevarech al tznon u'poter as zayis. You make a bracha on the tznon only. What case? You're pottering the zayis, shivas aminim, b'medvar mamurim, k'shat tznon ikar. If the case is where the tznon is the ikar and the zayis is just there to counter the tznon somehow, then you make the bracha only on the tznon, according to everybody. Aval einat tznon ikar. But if the tznon is not ikar, so then divrei akol, and it's two different brachos, right? This was confusing before. Two different brachos. Mavarech al zeh, b'chodem mavarech al zeh. You make a different brachas, right? This, we're fitting this into Ula. Ula says if it's different brachas, you make the separate brachos. And now, b'shnei mina ba'alma. But if you have two other types, shebir chosei and shavos, he'll have equal brachos. Mevarech ha'lezimet she'yirtza, you make a bracha whatever you want. Whatever's more chaviv, that's the shita of the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yehuda omer, mevarech ha'lazayis, she'azayis b'min shiva. And Rabbi Yehuda says in that case that chavivus beats, is beaten by shiva saminim, and therefore, that is the machlokas, how we fit the brises into the sheet, the explanation of Ula. Here on Shiva Saminim might win because that's Chaviv to Hashem. You know, Chaviv to me and Chaviv to Hashem. That's Hashem chose those Minim, and that's why also that can win. Good. Period. Pligi Barab Ami Verbisla Nafka. So we have another related machlokas. Chad Amar Machlokas Bishar Birchose and Shavos. One holds that the Machlokas is when you have equal brachos. To Rabbi Yehuda Savar, as Ula said, to Rabbi Yehuda Savar Min Shiva Adiv, Rabbanan Savri Min Chaviv Adiv. Does Shiva Saminim win or Chavivas win? Aval Bishayin Birchose and Shavos. But if the brachos are not equal, Divrei Hakol Mevarech Al Zeh, V'Chozeh Mevarech Al Zeh. But if the brachos are not equal, you make both brachos. That's like Ula said. V'chad amar, but the other explanation is, af b'she'ein b'rchosei and shavos nami machlokas. The machlokas is even if it's different brachas. So what do you mean? What's the machlokas then? Shiva saminim versus chaviv, what's the machlokas? Right, which bracha you make? They're different brachos. So bish l'balamanda amar b'she b'rchosei and shavos. According to the one who says it's about equal brachos. Machlokas shaper. I understand what the case is. The machlokas is which food do you take to be motzi the other one? Elolamanda amar b'shein b'rchosei and shavos pligi b'may pligi. But if you say the machlokas is about whether brachos are not equal, so what's the machlokas about? Shiva saminim versus chaviv. What's the issue? So amar b'yirmiya lehakdim. Which one do you make first? You're right. If it's different brachas, you're going to make both brachas. But the question is, which do you make first? Right, and which do you choose? So that's the machlokas, chaviv versus shivas haminim. And remember, the Rambam paskins chaviv even over shivas haminim. Shulchan Aruch, the other Rishonim, see the paskin. No, shivas haminim wins, but chaviv is only an issue if it's the same bracha non shivas haminim. Because even within shivas haminim, as we'll see, there is an order. As Rabbi Yitzchak says, you look in the pasuk, that's the muktam for the bracha. Meaning this halacha is about kedima in brachas. It's not just whatever you want. This kedima in brachas, the order of that you say for brachas. As we know, chita always goes first. Shnei Amar, based on the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Eretz chita usa'ora. First is wheat, then is barley. And that's why we had a couple of days ago, wheat goes before barley. The gefen uteidav rimon, wine or grapes, teidav figs, verimon, eretz, zei shemen udvash. Zei shemen, that's oil, dvash here means dvash timarim, right? Date, honey. Good, so stop there. So chita always goes first. The Rashi has hara here, that means chita here only goes first when it's bread, not raw chita. I mean, earlier, raw chita gets a hadama. But when you have baked bread, wheat always goes first. So chita always goes first. But we have to say the following because, after all, you'll see why. We've had a discussion many times that you have to go in the order. So the big problem is Shabbos. As we know, you have to make Kiddush. You have to make Kiddush on Shabbos. I'm supposed to make Hamotzi first. Hamotzi is wheat, right? Kiddush, chita, sorah, gefen, that's third. So you're supposed to have chita first. So that's one of the three reasons we cover the challahs. The tour in Hilcha Shabbos, quote, that we cover the Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Tes. The Torah quotes three reasons we cover the challahs. Number one is what I just mentioned, the most famous reason, because the challah is supposed to go first, but it's embarrassing for the challah not to go first, so we cover the challah as if the challah is not there. Okay, wonderful. That's one reason. The other reason is Zecher Laman. The man was wrapped in a package. The man had a cover above it and below it. Right, that's the first Ziploc bag in history. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent down the man, and imagine the man coming down into anything ever falls in the sand. It's disgusting. You can't ever get the sand off. Even if it falls down for a second, you can never get the sand off. Every time the man fell down, it was in a nice, beautiful package. It was covered on the bottom and covered on top. That's why we cover the challahs also. Second reason. And number three, the Torah quotes Tosfos and Ari Pesachim that it's as if the challah is not there yet. We declare the Shabbos meal, the covered Shabbos, we make Kiddush, and then we bring the challah, then we bring the food. So everything is brought with covered Shabbos. Right? That is why we cover the challah. It's as if we're not bringing the challah until after Kiddush. Those are the three reasons. So today is the Chafetz Chaim's yard site. So the Chafetz Chaim, the famous story of the Chafetz Chaim, when he ate at somebody's house on a Friday night, and he comes in, and the table is set, and it's gorgeous, and it's wonderful, and the candles are lit, and everything is amazing. And the challahs aren't covered. And the wife is asleep on the floor. Imagine if you had the Chafetz Chaim, you know, in your house. How crazy you would be on Friday getting ready. The Chafetz Gadol Dor is coming to my house. So she did everything, but she fell asleep. She was exhausted. And the guy starts screaming at his wife. How can you embarrass me in front of the Gadol Dor? Don't you know that you have to cover the challahs, basic ABCs? Everybody knows that reason. So the Chafetz Chaim turns to the man and says, why do you cover the challahs? So he says, what do you mean? So you don't embarrass the challah. So the Chafetz Chaim says, I never saw a red challah. Maybe a brown one, maybe a burnt one. What do you think the purpose is? So the purpose is obviously to teach you something. You obviously missed the message. You worry more about the challahs than about your wife. Right? The Chafetz Chaim is always ready to teach us something. Right? There are many halachas that, you know, we know about, but it's like, oh, right? The Rashi's quotes at the end of Parshas Yisro. Why aren't there steps going up to the Mizbeach? There's a ramp. So the steps, the floor doesn't see the nakedness of the Kohen. Because after all, they wear robes and it's loose Mechnasayim. So from the floor, looking up, it won't be Tzias. Why, did you ever see steps that got embarrassed? The answer is, it's for us. It's for us to teach us midos, to teach us values. So to the Chafetz Chaim says, it's meant to teach us values. So Lezecher Nishmasa, we said over that story. But again, there are many nafkaminas that relate to the various reasons about covering the challahs, which is based on this reason. We've spoken about in the past, when can you uncover the challahs? So according to reason number three, that it's only there to declare it as a Shabbos meal, and once you do that, finished, so right after you make Kiddush, you can take off the cover. Because now you've declared this as a Shabbos meal, bring everything else! But if the point is zecher to the mon, for example, or embarrassment, you can also take it off right after Kiddush. But if it's zecher to the mon, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes, then maybe you should keep it on even through the bracha. You might have seen some people that keep the challahs covered even through the bracha of Amotzi, because that's when you're being mazkir the mon and lecha mishnah, so you'd keep it on until later. What has to be covered? Are you allowed to put, what if you have pickles and gefilte fish and coleslaw on the table before Kiddush? So if you say the reason is the embarrassment, so fine, have them on the table, no problem. No problem. But if you say the reason is number three, that everything should be L'Kavod Shabbos, so then maybe nothing should be on the table before Kiddush. Because you want everything to be brought there after Kiddush, Dafka L'Kavod Shabbos. Does the challah have to be covered by Shalosh Shudis? Right, so again, nafkamina, if you say it's based on the embarrassment, you're not making Kiddush by Shalosh Shudis. So you wouldn't have to cover them. But according to the other reasons, maybe. So there are various nafkaminas given based on this discussion. Right, by a Kiddush, you have to cover the mizonos and others. Shlomo Zalman talks about, what if you have a see-through challah cover? See-through challah cover. Sometimes you get like a design, but you can like see the challahs. So Shlomo Zalman said, it's called covers. It's called covered. It's okay. Even if it's a... It's not like we had before, Erva Bashashis and Saw Bashashis at the end of the third parak. Right, if you see Erva through a glass, that's still called Erva. Right, if it's Soa, you see through a glass, that's in a different makam, so it's okay. So I think Gachala Bashashis is similar to Tsoa Bashashis, separate rule. Okay, so anyway, this is the pasuk that tells me that you have to have order in Hilchas Brachas. Says the Gemara, Upligad Rabbi Chanan, and this argues, Rabbi Yitzchak argues on Rabbi Chanan. Dom Rabbi Chanan, Kol HaPasuk Kulo L'Shira Nemar. Because Rabbi Chanan says, the whole Pasuk, no. The whole Pasuk is not telling me that you have to do brachas in order. The Pasuk is each referring to me to a different Shir that we know of in Halacha. Chita, and we're going to go through each word now. Chita, what shear is alluded to by the word chita, wheat? It's not. The Mishnah says in Meseches Negaim, Hanichas Vayis Amenuga, we know. Tumas Ohel is only by two types of tumas. By tumas mace, creates tumas Ohel, and tumas Mitzora, Tsaras, also is tumas Ohel. If a Mitzora is in a room, Hanichas Vayis Amenuga, if somebody goes into a Vayis Amenuga, the house is Tameh, and now somebody walks in. So if somebody walks into a Bayis HaMenuga, V'kelov al k'tefav, and he's carrying his clothes. He's not wearing clothes. He's wearing some clothes, but other clothes he's carrying. V'sandala v'tabosa v'yadav, and he's holding his shoes and his rings. Hu v'hein t'man miyad. So everything is Tameh immediately, right, when he goes in. Because every item is called an entity by itself. Hayalavush kelav esadala. But if he's wearing his shoes and his kelim, baraglav v'tabosa v'esbosav, but if he's wearing all his clothes, so that it's two steps, then those clothes are batel and they're secondary. Hu tameh, he becomes tameh miyad. Hu tameh miyad, v'hein tahorin ha-shiyisha b'chdei achilas pras. But the rest, his clothes are only tameh as long as when he stays in there for the amount of time that it would take him to eat a slice of bread. K'dei achilas pras. What type of bread? Paschitim v'lo pasaorim. Wheat bread, which is more commonly eaten, so you can eat it quicker. Mesiv v'ochlin v'liftem. And also, not plain. It's easier to eat bread with a dip. Mesiv, when he's sitting down relaxing, haseba, v'ochlin v'liftem, and eating it with a dip. So that's what chita refers to. Chita refers to the shear of a wheat bread that you need to eat in order to make your clothes tameh when you walk into a Baisa Manuka. Rabbi Yosef Engel just has the Hara here. Interesting. In other areas of halacha, if somebody says, all of his clothes are asur to me, are shoes included in clothes? Or are shoes like different? There used to be a store, right? Was that NBO was called? Everything but shoes. Right? So clothes, right? Remember that store? Right? So are shoes clothes? In most clothing stores, do they sell shoes? And most shoe stores, they sell clothes? Most of the time, it's separate. Are shoes called clothes? So, says Rabbi Yosef Engel. That's it. He talks about a tshuva of the Shavuos Yaakov. If somebody assered a person's clothes on them, could they wear their shoes? So he says from this Gemara, look, shoes are listed separately. His clothes are on, he's holding his clothes, and he's carrying his shoes. If they're included in clothes, they should just not mention it. So Haraya, he thinks that clothes and shoes are different. Interesting. Anyway, so that's chita. Seora ditznan. Barley. What does the word barley in the Mishnah refer to? The Mishnah says in Maseches Aulos. Etzem kiseora. A bone of a dead body, the size of a barley seed. That's the minimum shear. Mitame b'magu b'masis. Mitame by touching that bone and by carrying that bone, even if you're not touching it. Feina mitame b'ohel. That is a halacha moshe b'sinai, but we learned that from the pasuk. It's not mitame b'ohel. That barley seed. That's what etzem kisaora. Gefen. What does the word gefen teach me? Kedei revias yayin lenazir. That's the shear of a revias yayin for a nazir. What does that mean? A couple of pshatim in the Rishonim. We'll go with Rashi's pshat. Rashi says, all the solids that are usher to a nazir. You know, the seeds of the grapes and the peels of the grapes and anything else that comes from a vine. That's all usher. How much of that do you have to eat? So that's what it is. Revius yain, revius, or revius yain for a nazir. What does that mean? Most of the time Rashi says that means displacement. Meaning, when you put all of these solids into a cup of wine, once a revius of wine spills out, so then you know however much stuff you put into the cup, that's the amount that substitutes for a revius. Rashi points out, it's going to be more than if the cup had been just water, because wine sticks to each other. It's not as viscous as water. Water just spills out easily. Wine hangs to each other. So it's going to be a little bigger of a shear than we would have thought. Teina, what does teina in the Mishnah mean? A fig? Kigrogeris. That's the shear of most malach, items in terms of Hotzah Shabbos, Hotzah Shabbos. How much you have to carry out of anything for Shabbos. So the Mishnayos go through many details, but most is grogeris, which are dried figs. Rimon, what does rimon mean in the pasuk? Kidetzan. The Mishnah says in Kalim. A lot of Mishnayos from Mesechtas that Dafyomi doesn't do today. It's Arzchus. Kidetz, we had Negaim and Alis, now we have Kalim. Kidetznan. Kol Bali Vatim, Shi'ur and Kerimonim. Give any Kalim that a Balabas uses. How big of a hole do you need in the kli in order for it to lose its status of a kli? If you have a tummy kli, but then it loses the status of a kli, it becomes tahar. So how big of a hole? Once a kli becomes, it gets a big hole in it, it becomes useless. So if you have a kli of a balabas, it has to be big enough hole that a pomegranate would fall through. That's a pretty big hole. Shiur and Kerimonim. Good. Eretz zeis shemen. What about zeis shemen? What does the olive mean? Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Eretz shekol shiure kezaisim. That's the most common shear. All shiurim are kezaias. The Gemara says kol shiur is like a daitach. All the Gemara says vahika hanach to amra. What do you mean? There are a lot of shiur that are not kezaias. Ela eretz sherov shiure kezaisim. It means rov shiurim. Most shiurim of halachos in life are kezaias. Rashi rov shiureha, fourth line on top. Achilas chelev dam no seru pigel. Rashi quotes isurim. for examples of Isurim. So Rov Shiurim are Kazesim. Interesting that Rashi quotes Isurim and not, for example, Mitzvos. How much Masa do you have to eat? Kazayas. How much Challah do you have to eat on Friday night? Kazayas. Rashi doesn't say that by Mitzvos. Rashi is only quoting the Shiurim by Isurim. Okay, let's just finish and then we'll talk about it. Dvash, what about the last line? Dvash Tamarim, Kikosevas, Agasim, Yamakipurim. What's the size of eating on Yom Kippur? That is a separate shear. As we know, the Torah does not say that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah just says you must afflict yourself on Yom Kippur. It's affliction. What's affliction? So Chazal assume affliction is a larger shear than a kezias. Even if I eat a kezias, I'm still afflicted. But a date, which is a bigger than an olive, a kosevas hagasa, a large date, that's the shear for Yom Kippur. So this opinion, who is this opinion? This is Rabbi Hanan. Rabbi Hanan says, no, you don't use this pasuk to teach me that you have to have the brachas in the right order, because you need this pasuk to teach me all these shiurin. So the Gemara answers, v'idach. What does the other opinion do? No. Hani shiurim behenyim miksivi? Does this pasuk, is it talking about shiurim anyway? No, the whole thing are hints. So Ella midrabanon, the cross machta bialma. Really, the shiurim, the specific shiurim are drabanon. Some of them are halacha moshe b'sinai. But either way, the pasuk is only meant to be an asmachta, a hint. It's not meant to teach me these shiurim anyway. The real message of the pasuk is to tell me the order of these items in Hilchas Brachas. Okay, two important conversations. One we've had already, and one maybe we have never touched on. Number one, the tzlach adds in. Right, the Manta Amr that says, Eretz Chita Sa'ora, right, the one that learns out all of these shiurim from the Psukim. Ask the Tzlach, so how are all these shiurim are Shevach to Eretz Yisrael? The whole context of Parshas Ekev is talking about the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher Avaneh, Barzom, Eretz Achzom Nechoshes, right, Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvat. Right, so how is this, why is this limited to Eretz Yisrael? All of these shiurim have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. If I violate Yom Kippur and Chutz La'aretz, it's the same Isser. If a kli gets a hole in it in Chutz La'aretz, it also is the same shear. What do these shearim have to do with Eretz Yisrael? So says the Tzlach. No. We know from the Gemara Maseches Yuma. We hold like Rabbi Yochanan that holds Chatzi Shear as Aser Minat Torah. We hold that even if I eat a half a kezias of treif, I still get an Issa Daraisa. That's what I hold. Any half of an Isser, Chatzi Shear as Aser Minat Torah. What don't I get? I don't get punished for it. Bez is not going to give me Malkus. Except that if I have a whole shear. But Chatzi Shear is also in a Torah. So says the Tzlach, that's what's going on here. Regarding the shiurim, you're right. Even less than a shear is going to be usher. So what's the message of the pasuk anyway, if they're a shiurin? Even Chatzi Shear is usher. The message is when you eat a full shear, you're going to get the punishment. Punishments are only in Eretz Yisrael. Bezdin is only in Eretz Yisrael. That's what this pasuk that tells us about shiurim has to do with Eretz Yisrael. Because that, what the real message of the pasuk of shiurin is only in Eretz Yisrael. Because even outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't need the shiurin. Because even chatzi shiur is aser, you just would not get the punishments. L'chein amar, shekol shiuresh yushayach rak ba'aretz. V'chein kosev esbiyam kipurim. Rak l'malkus l'karban. That's why it says it, that's what it has to do with Eretz Yisrael. He also asks there, actually we'll get to that. Let's leave it for a minute. Asmachta. So usually when we speak about asmachta, we quote the Ritva. The Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Ritva says that Chas V'Shalom, the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin, very famous Ritva, Chas V'Shalom, whenever you see the word Asmachta, where the Rabbanan said something and they found a hint in the Torah. So the Ritva says, many people say that really the Torah did not have this in mind. No, the Rabbanan made it up, and then they went backwards and said, oh, here's a hint to it. Says the Ritva, Chas V'Shalom. Uses very strong language. That's what he says. Yishtaka adar v'lo yomar. That idea should be forgotten. Says the Ritva, every asmachta, you know what it means? It means Hashem wanted to say it's obligatory. But you know what? He left open the creativity for the Rabbanan to figure it out. But of course this is what the pasuk meant. That's what the Ritva says in Rosh Hashanah. Shekol ma sheyish lo asmachta min hapasuk, heyer Hashem sheroy la'asos kein. Hashem definitely had it in mind. Ela shelo kavu chova, but he didn't command it as obligatory. Umasru lechachamim, v'zed davar bar v'emes, v'lo kedivri ha-mefarshim, ha-asmachto shu kederach simin. It's a simin. Really, the Rabbana made it up, but then they wanted you to remember it. So therefore, they found asmachtas. But not that it was mechuvan. Says the Ritva, The Cholti says, Chas v'shalom. Tipsach ha-chamim nosim b'chol makam mayo zeva asmachta. Why do they try so hard? It's because they think that this is what the Torah meant in the first place. Wonderful, that's the Ritva. Who's he rejecting? He's rejecting a Rambam. The Pirush of Mishnah is right here. He's rejecting a Kuzari. The Sefer guy, I never get to quote a Kuzari. The Kuzari says in Mamar Gimel, Simen Ayin Gimel, says the Kuzari, he says, Asmachta means it's a Drabbanon. But the Rabbanon didn't want you to forget it. So they went back to the Torah and alluded to it. But it's very hard to say, says the Kuzari, the Ritvas type of idea. Some Drabbanons are so far-fetched and not connected to the Pasuk. You're going to tell me this is what the Pasuk had in mind? I can't believe it. He quoted, he said, all toward the beginning of Chumash. The Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin says, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are hinted to in the Pasuk by Adam HaRishon, Vayetzav Hashem Elokim Al HaAdam Lemar, Mikol Eitzagan Achol Tochel. That's the remez to Sheva Mitzvahs. Vayetzav, that means Dinim. Hashem, that cursing God. Elokim Avodah Zarah. He says, Ma Rava Merchak, Bein Hinyonim Elo, Bein HaPasuk Hazeh, it's impossible. That's what Hashem wanted you to figure out from this Pasuk? No. Ein Zos Kiyim Kabbalah Haya Biyadam Inyin Sheva Mitzvahs Elo. They knew the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And then they found it into it. Anu Ein Lanu Kiyim Lusboch Al Kabbalah Sam. Hol Behuvru Rulanu Chachmasam Vachad Yisidu Sam. Ein Lanu Lachshor B'divrayim. It's not what the Torah says. The Chacham have the power to make up rules. Losasur, but don't think that that's what the Pasuk actually meant. That's what the Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos as well, and that's what it said beautifully, again, an underused source. The Maritz Chayis. The Maritz Chayis, in any of his books, but in his Mavola Talmud, in the first parak, he has 3 pages on this where he's a very big supporter of the Rambam and Kuzari approach, because after all he says, before the Rabbanan found an Asmachta, right, the Amoram came along and found an Asmachta, well before that they didn't follow the Halacha, they didn't do it. Priates Hadar, Hadar Bilana Mishana Lashana, they find a little hint in the Pasuk for what an Esrog is, or other, all the different drushes and Asmachtas. What they do before they found the Pshat? Before they found that hint of the Torah. They obviously had a misora that this is what the halacha. Why do they want to find a smach in it? Because they wanted to connect Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Chsav. They wanted to connect their abundance to Daraisis. But not because this was the specific kavana of Hashem in this pasuk. That's what the Ritva says. Major machlokas. And again, each one has very strong tainus, but each one has value for us. V'yavsha chazal tarchu lahotzi dvar malala didrasha shonos batarish v'chsav v'chozos yuksha kodim shabo chazal v'lamdu osam inyanim elu b'derach midas anirashas behen manam gemarinu v'chiyala ladash lo kimu mikodim lachay mitzas tefillin kelchasa. And you find that not just by asmachta, says the Maritz Chayis, by many halachos that are so not clear in the Torah. What did tefillin look like? What's an esrog? What is many of them? They knew the halacha. And then they just hinted to it in the Torah, but not dafka, that the Torah meant this originally. So that is a major machlokas. Rishonim already. But you can look at this Maritz Chayis in Perak Aleph of Mavoa Talmud. Fascinating discussions about asmachtas. You might say the Prima Gadim says, well, there's asmachtas and there's asmachtas. There are different types of asmachtas. You might be mechalik between different types of asmachtas, but that is a big discussion related to asmachta. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisav, Rav Amnuna, Haviyasi Besudasa, they were sitting at a meal. Aishu l'kamayo temri v'ribone, they were brought in front of them dates and pomegranates. Shaka Rav Amnuna, Baruch Atami Bereisha, Rav Amnuna took a date and made a bracha on it. They're both ha'eitz. He made it on a date first. Amalei Rav Chisda. Lo svir le'mar lo hada amar Rav Yosef itemar Rav Yitzchak. You don't hold of Rav Yitzchak's din? Kol ha'muktim b'pasik zeh kodem l'bracha. You don't hold of the din that whoever's earlier in the pasik? So, rimonim are earlier. Eretz chita sa'ora. Give it to rimon. And then eight zeh shemen u'dvash. Tamarim is the last one in the pasik. Dvash is tamarim. So Amar Leh, he says, no. Zeh sheni la'aretz, v'zeh chamishi la'aretz. There's another kinech, right? It's not just what's earlier in the pasuk. It's whatever is closer to the word Eretz. It says the word Eretz twice. Eretz chitos ora gevti rimon. Eretz chitos ora gevti rimon. Eretz zeh shemen u'dvash. So dvash, which is dvash tamarim. Tamarim is only a second. It's the second one from Eretz. And rimon is the fifth one from Eretz. Right? So that's why you go by which one is closer to the Aretz. Not just, you go by the order, and you go by which one is closer to the Aretz. So Amar Leh says, wow, man yavla nagri the parzlov and shbinach. Bring me a metal stool so I could sit and listen to you all day. Meaning, wow, you're awesome. I love that vart. Okay. He was very excited about that. So therefore, what's the dim hashivas aminim? You always go by earlier in the pasuk, but also you take into account which one is closer to the word aretz. What if they're equal? What if you have chita and zaysim? They're both one from aretz. What if you have saorim and tamarim? So that's Tosa. Tosa says you go by the first one. If they're equally distant from Aretz, Tosfos says, and Dibur Maskel Zeh, you go by the earlier one. Because after all, that's the earlier one. Good. The Tzfach here says the Kushas Ha'olam is, so why are there two Eretzes in the Pasuk? Just say one Eretz. What if they have Eretz twice? So I saw the Ksava Kabbalah just notes, it's different categories. Because the first five are items that you eat whole. That you can eat whole. You can eat Chita, Saora. You can't eat whole. But the other ones are liquids, dvash and shemen. So maybe that's why they're in a different category, right? Because you take something out of them. Chita, you also don't always eat whole, but you process it. But the shemen and the dvash, that's processed from it. You take it from it, so maybe those are different. That's a different type. Okay, Itzmar, we continue. If one is brought, here's the Gemara, right here, about desserts and brachas within a meal. If somebody brings fruit during a meal, Amar Avuna, Tu'unim Bracha Lefneim, you have to make a bracha before. Why? Because that's not covered by Amotzi, because you're not eating those to be satiated. Anything you don't eat to be satiated requires its own bracha. Ve'in Tu'unim Bracha Lacharayim, but it does not need a bracha afterwards. Benching covers those fruit. Ve'chein Amar Av Nachman, Tu'unim Bracha Lefneim, Ve'in Tu'unim Bracha Lacharayim. Right, big shayla about appetizers. Again, it's not 100% clear, but you have to know why you're eating it. Why are you eating the half a grapefruit? Why are you eating a piece of melon? Why are you eating that as a first course? If it's to get my appetite going in order to eat more, then maybe you would not make a bracha. But if it's just stam to give me a sweet taste in my mouth, but not really having to do with the meal, which many times that's the case, then you'd make a separate bracha, even though you just said a motzi. Because whenever it's not lahasbia, you'd make a new bracha, right? That's why we say a bracha on the apple on Rosh Hashanah night. Right, we say Bari Per Eitz even though we just washed. Why? Because that's not part of the meal. That's why you make a bracha on all the simanim separately. Because that's not part of the meal. Anything that's not part of the meal, you make a new bracha on. That's why we should make a bracha on maror. We say, oh, we yotzei hadama with karpas. But why do we say have in mind with the maror, you ate it after amotzi? Because maror is not part of a meal. Anything we eat during a meal, not for meal purposes, you make a separate bracha on. Rav Sheshes Amar Tuna Bracha Beilafnei Melacharayim. Rav Sheshes goes even further. Rav Sheshes says you have to make a separate bracha achrona on those foods. We don't paskin that way. Shein lecha davar shaton bracha lafanav veiton bram laacharav ela pasaba bekisim bavad. The only thing that Rav Sheshes says requires a bracha before, but not a bracha after. Meaning the only thing covered with benching is pasaba bekisnin. That's tomorrow's discussion, Med Hashem. Tomorrow's pizza day, right? Pasaba bekisnin, all the different three machlokas we've shown, and what exactly is a type of bread that has a pocket. Literally. Anyway, some type of mizonos. Rav Huna says, the only item that is covered with, Rav Sheshes, the only item that is covered with benching is the mizonos that you eat afterwards. Okay. Upliga de Rabbi Chia, and these deos argue on Rabbi Chia. Don Rabbi Chia, pas poteres kol minei maichol, v'yayin poteres kol minei mashke. No, bread covers all food, and, right, Rashi says, bein lefneihem, bein lacharehem. So that's arguing on both of the previous days. Pas covers both, and wine covers all liquids. Wine covers all liquids. So that, again, also is an important question on the Maisa. If I make Kiddush at a Kiddush, and then I have a drink, Pashas, I do not have to make another Ashahakol on that. And at the end, I don't have to make a Bar Nefashas. Right? I just make an Ala Geffen, and that covers it. It depends if I eat other things that require, if I eat potato kugel, that I have to make a Bar Nefashas afterwards to cover the kugel. Amar Rav Papa Hilchasa. Rav Papa says, this is Halacha L'maisa. Hilchasa, dvarma ba machmas asuda betoch asuda, items that come during a meal, because of the meal, for the meal, ain't tuna bracha lofem lacharem. No separate bracha required. Vishalo machmas asuda betoch asuda, if something comes during the meal, but it's not because of the meal, it's just for some other reason, maybe it's dessert, maybe it's an appetizer, maybe it's a piece of chocolate, stam, tuna bracha lofem, ain't tuna bracha lacharem. That means a bracha before and not afterwards. But if something is eaten after the meal, what does that mean? Rashi says it means something that's usually eaten after the meal, but it's brought during the meal. Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Then that will be covered. Tosfos says, no, something brought mamish after the meal. Tuna bracha ben lefneim ben lachareim. That's after brachas amazim, it would require its own bracha. Okay, maybe we'll just read the Gemara today. Tomorrow we'll start with the discussions of the desserts and how much brachos on certain pasul abakistins. Maybe we'll start with that tomorrow, Beis Hashem, as we get into other issues of pasul abakistin. That's really tomorrow's daf, among other inyanim that will come up. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, daf be'in shir should be up, hopefully, regarding the bracha of Shahakol.